Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's interesting, isn't it, how we have today such a deep mystery as the Holy Trinity, and yet this is the shortest liturgical mass text of all the masses throughout the year. But in the face of mystery, what can you say, right? You can only fall on your knees in adoration at such a deep mystery as the Blessed Trinity. We learn in catechism. Our first communicants just did this, and I hope they still remember it. What is the Blessed Trinity? It is three persons and one God. Now, our belief, the Catholic teaching on the Blessed Trinity, consists really in just three points. First, we'll go through them briefly, that there is only one God who rewards the good and punishes the evil, either in this life or in the next. That there are three persons, namely the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and that each of these persons differs from the other two. In other words, the Son is not simply another name for the Father, but they are rather different persons. And this difference in persons does not imply a difference in nature. They all three persons, possess the same divine nature. And each of these persons is true God. The second point consists in this, that the Father is the first person, while the Son is the second person, and the Holy Ghost the third of the Holy Trinity. But note that the Father had no beginning, nor did he originate from either of the other two persons. The Son was born from all eternity in an incomprehensible manner of the Father. And the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son in a most incomprehensible manner. Yet the Father is not older than the Son or the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not younger than the Father or the Son. They all three persons exist from all eternity, without beginning, without end. The third point that we believe about the Blessed Trinity is this, that what we believe of their existence, that they all exist from all eternity. One is not older than the other, or better than the other, or lower than the other. So we believe the same of all their other perfections. If one is omnipotent, all three are omnipotent. If one is all-knowing, then all three are all-knowing. One does not have more knowledge than the other. Now, the mystery of the Blessed Trinity was revealed to very few in the Old Testament. You see, the Jews at that time were surrounded by heathens, men who adored many gods. And the Jews themselves, remember, all throughout the Old Testament were prone to idolatry. You see them, how often they go away from God and God punishes them, brings them back and tells them, you must only worship one God, and that's me. And then they go off and worship a golden calf again. Time and time again, it happens. They were very prone to idolatry. And so God did not clearly reveal the Blessed Trinity in the Old Testament because he did not want to give the Jews an opportunity to regard these three persons as three gods. You see God's wisdom in that, that he knows exactly the time to reveal the truths. And so God, through his prophets, always impressed on the Jews that there was only one God. That is what he impressed upon their minds to steer them away from idolatry, and that they should worship this God alone. And it was not until the New Testament that the Trinity was revealed and announced in very clear terms. Again, you see God's wisdom. And our Lord reveals the Blessed Trinity. It's mentioned in today's gospel when he tells the apostles, "Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Now, there's an interesting thing to notice that in that command of our Lord, Christ announces not only the three divine persons, that's clear, we all see that, but at the same time, he announces that there is only one God. For he does not say, "Going therefore, baptizing, teach them all things, baptizing them in the names of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost," but rather, "in the name," singular. And that represents the one single divine nature. Now, the gospel was preached. The Jews, the heathens, eventually believed the truth about the Blessed Trinity. And soon enough, all sects of Christians would accept the Holy Trinity. But one thing is true. This mystery is far beyond human comprehension. There is no other article of the creed that is more inexplicable. Not a single one. And I always like to remind people in sermons on the Blessed Trinity the quote of Bishop Sheen: "If by the end of this sermon you can say that you understand perfectly well the Blessed Trinity, then I, as the preacher, have done something terribly wrong. Because it's a mystery. No one can fully comprehend what is a mystery. It's meant to remain a mystery." And then, of course, you might know already the story of St. Augustine. He was a great doctor of the church and one of the most learned men of the Catholic Church and perhaps of all of history. He was searching, you might say, the mystery of the Holy Trinity, mulling over it in his mind to be able to explain it to others. And as he was doing this one day, he took a walk along the seashore, and there he saw a little boy. The boy had dug a small hole into the sand, and he was taking a little spoon and taking the water from the sea and putting it into the hole. And Augustine, you can imagine, such an intellectual, he just can't comprehend what this little boy is doing. And he asks him, "So, little boy, what are you trying to do?" And the boy tells St. Augustine, "I wish to pour the entire sea into this little hole." Augustine responded, "Well, that's a useless attempt." And he said, "So small a hole cannot contain that immense sea." And the little boy looked up to Augustine and said, "And your mind is still less able to comprehend the mystery of the Blessed Trinity." That little boy turned out to be an angel who then vanished after telling St. Augustine that lovely message. Concerning this mystery, this is where we must have faith. Faith, divine faith. That is, that we merely believe based on God's word. God is truth. God cannot deceive. And he has said it. Therefore, we believe. It is not a matter of opinion. It is not up for debate. For God has spoken. We believe it and we are ready to die for this truth. We are faced with something that we have never seen. We know what our Lord told St. Thomas, blessed are the eyes, blessed are those who do not see, but believe. We are faced with a fathomless truth which we cannot ever fully comprehend. And yet God commands, under pain of mortal sin, that we believe this truth. For as I said, God himself revealed it. But that is enough to remove all doubt from our minds, the fact that God has said it. St. Paul tells us, our understanding must submit and become a prisoner in the service of faith. For the words of God are true whether we comprehend them or not. And this is a fact that our society needs to understand as well. Just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's false. If God has made it true, it is true whether you believe it or not. God did not command us to understand, but only to believe. And St. Bernard says, if anyone asks how the Catholic faith in regard to this point can be true, I answer that it should be enough for anyone to believe it to be so. If anyone goes further and attempts to explain, he is only expected to believe, then he places himself in danger of losing his faith and with it his salvation. Because this mystery is so deep. And this was the case for the Jews who tried to explain it. They would not believe in the three persons. It was too hard for them. Or the heathens who believed in many gods. Or the Arians who, because they would not believe in the Blessed Trinity, caused one of the worst persecutions against the Catholic Church. And then, never forget that Martin Luther himself, even removed from sacred scripture the verse from the book of St. John where it says that there are three in heaven that give testimony. I believe it's the Spirit, the water, and the blood. He removed that. And he despised, along with Calvin, who was believed that God created people and predestined them to hell, they both rejected the word Trinity. Later on, the Lutherans added it back, and to this day do celebrate Trinity Sunday. But it shows the attitude of these other sects. Now, what is beautiful is that the more the dogma of the Blessed Trinity was attacked, the more the Catholic Church defended it. For example, the Mass begins with the sign of the cross, which expresses the three divine persons. The Kyrie eleison. Notice it is said nine times, three times, for each of the three divine persons. The Gloria in Excelsis Deo honors the three divine persons if you read through that. The Credo at Mass, we profess all our beliefs about the three divine persons. The Sanctus, right before the canon of the Mass, it is said Sanctus, 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 to express the Trinity of persons. So finally, what is the lesson to take to heart today? Well, we're faced with such a great mystery that all we can do is to humble our intellects, to realize that we are not capable to understand such a mystery, and yet we must submit our intellect because God has said, this is so. We are then to adore and love the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. And today, a little practical thing for you all to do. Say the glory be frequently, especially before your most important actions of the day, as a means, as a way of offering that action up in honor of the Blessed Trinity. In this way, we can celebrate this wonderful feast of the Holy Trinity as the Church wishes us to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.